ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल नारद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स प्रचेतास। तन्निर्जित प्राण मनो वचो दृशो जितासनान शांत समान अविग्रहान परे मले ब्रह्मणि योजितात्मनः सुरा सुरा सुरेद्य ददर्श ददृश्योस्म नारद Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After practicing the yogasana for mystic yoga, the prachetas managed to control their life air, mind, words and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachments. By remaining perpendicular, they could concentrate their mind on the uppermost Brahman. While they were practicing this pranayama, the great sage Narada, who is worshipped both by the demons and by the demigods, came to see them. Purport. In this verse, the word pare amale are significant. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is realized in the three phrases, impersonal effulgence Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. In his prayers, Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal feature of Parabrahma, described in the personal term as Sthigdha Pravrida Ghanashyam, Bhagavatam 4.24-45. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas also concentrated their mind on the Shyam Sundar form of the Supreme Brahman. Although the impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan and Brahman as the Supreme Person are all on the same transcendental platform, the personal feature of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and the last word in the transcendence. The great sage Narada travels everywhere, who goes to the demons and the demigods and is equally respected. He is consequently described herein as Sura Suredya, worshipped by demons and the demigods. For Narad Muni, the doors of every door is open. Although there is a perpetually animosity between the demons and the demigods, Narad Muni is welcomed everywhere. Narad is considered one of the demigods, of course, and the word Devarshi means the saintly person among the demigods. Not even the demons envy Narad Muni. Therefore, he is equally worshipped both by demons and by demigods. A perfect Vaishnava's position should be just like Narad Muni, completely independent and unbiased. Om Agyana Timirandasya. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for giving me opportunity to. You are all like a father. I am like a child. But still, father relishes the broken words of his child. So similarly, whatever I speak, please accept this. I have a lot of anarthas, but still, you have given me this opportunity so that I continue my devotional service. So, in today's, it's very important for me because I am speaking in front of so exalted Vaishnavas. So there is a very nice incident which I would like to present before you. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Devanand Pandit was forgiven of all his offenses, because he had committed offense to Shivas Pandit, and because of mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit, he was relieved from his offense. And then in utter humility, he came to Lord Chaitanya and he submitted himself, And there he asked him that, what should I do now? And especially he asked because Devanand Pandit was a great scholar in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had criticized his speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Devanand Pandit, now here he asked Lord Chaitanya that how one should give Bhagavatam, how one should lecture and how one should explain this Bhagavatam. And he said that actually I don't know anything, but still I lecture on this book which is meant for those who know everything. So please explain me. So that is what he submits to Lord Chaitanya. And hearing this petition by Devanand Pandit, then Lord Chaitanya, he smiles at him. And as you know, that one Vaishnava poet says that Veena Venu Maneche Parajaya Kanthe Madhur Bhasha. So Lord's voice is so sweet that even the most melodious instrument like Veena and Venu, they accept defeat in front of Lord's voice. So in his sweet voice, he started explaining the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, Suno Vipra Bhagavate E Vyakhyanivo Bhakti Vina Arakhicho Mukena Aniva. So see here, my dear Brahmana, that whenever you lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, only the bhakti should come on your tongue and nothing else should come on your tongue. Because Adhi Madhya Avasane Bhagavate Ekaya Vishnu Bhakti Nitya Siddha Akshaya Avaya. Because in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, the Srimad Bhagavatam only describes about the glories of the devotional service to Lord Krishna, and it is eternal and imperishable. So devotional service is the greatest truth, he explains further to Devanand Pandit, that devotional service is the greatest truth in the numberless universe. And when all universes are destroyed, but still devotional service will remain powerful and perfect. And no scripture is equal to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Puran, spotless Puran. So as the Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Narsingh Avatar, they are all eternal. They are all incarnation of Lord Krishna. And they are all eternally residing in the spiritual abode. But still, according to the certain time, they come on this earth. So similarly, Bhagavatam is also eternal. It is incarnation of Lord Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears on this planet. So only by Lord Krishna's mercy and the Vyasadeva's sincere devotion, the Vyasadeva could understand the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared on his tongue. So as nobody can understand the glories of the all the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so similarly the glories of Bhagavatam, all the glories of Bhagavatam cannot be understood. And if anyone declares that I know Bhagavatam, actually he doesn't know anything. But an uneducated person, if he takes the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, then easily he can understand the essence, the Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is made up of ecstatic love, spiritual love, and it is the Krishna's own body. So after speaking Srimad, all the Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharat, the Vyasadeva, he didn't felt joy in his heart. But when Srimad Bhagavatam appeared on his tongue, immediately he felt joy and complete satisfaction. So further, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Adhi Madhya Avasane Tumi Bhagavate Bhakti Yoga Matra Vyakhyanyo Sarvamate. So when one has to present Srimad Bhagavatam, here we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving clear instruction that Adi, in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, one has to speak only about Bhakti Yoga and nothing else. And then one will be freed from all aparad. Otherwise he will commit aparad to Srimad Bhagavatam. Tabe ar tumar nahiva aparad. Sekshana chitta vritti paive prasad. So immediately you will get the mercy of Lord Krishna and you will not commit offenses. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is how he tells to, one should present Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Krishna left, Krishna Swadhama Bhagate Dharma Jnana Divisa Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Puranarko Dhanurdita. So when Krishna went to his abode with religiosity and knowledge, see, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a brilliant sun. It appeared to dispatch the darkness of the of this world. So I beg devotees, they bless me that I only speak devotional service to Krishna. So in this purport, Prabhupada, he divides the, there are two paragraphs in this purport, in his purport. The first part he describes about the realization of absolute truth in three aspects. And then he concludes that how the Sham, the meditating on the Sham Sundar form is the topmost. And in the second paragraph, he explains the glories of Narad Muni, how he is worshipped by the demigods as well as the demons because of his non-envious nature. So first we'll elaborate on the absolute truth, which is realized in three aspects, and how this meditating on the Sham Sundar form is the highest. So in the Sanatana Siksha, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he explains in great detail about these three aspects of absolute truth. Also stated in Bhagavatam, Vadanti Tattva Tadvidas Tattvam Yajad Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwan Iti Shabdite. So the absolute truth is realized in three aspects, that is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. So one realizes the Brahman platform by the process of speculative knowledge. By speculative knowledge, one can realize the impersonal absolute truth. And by yogic mystic process, one can realize the Paramatma feature of the absolute truth. And by devotional service, one realizes the Bhagwan aspect. So that's why we say here, Prakashananda Saraswati, when he was in Banaras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there. So when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing. He was saying, Sanyasi haya karena gana na nachana, na kare Vedanta Shravan kare Sankirtana. So, Murka Sanyasi nija dharma nahi jane, bhau khaya phire bhau kerasan. So this Sanyasi, he is not knowing his duties. Sanyasi has supposed to, you know, study Vedanta philosophy, should hear Vedanta philosophy. But instead of that, he is dancing and singing with those who are sentimental people. So they think that by speculative knowledge, one realizes the absolute truth. So they are always engaged in the process of hearing of Vedanta Sutra. And also, we see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, when he saw Lord Jagannath, he was completely in ecstatic mood and he fell unconscious. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could know that this ecstatic symptoms, they were actually sattvika vikar. They were not ordinary. But still he could not understand because he was on the platform of Brahman. Because he was thinking that Brahman is the ultimate goal of life. And so, in spite of Gopinath Acharya, who was his brother-in-law, he told him that actually what you are thinking about Lord Chaitanya, an ordinary person, he is an ordinary sannyasi, and you should be hearing Vedanta to maintain his sannyas order. So that is all foolishness, because Lord Chaitanya himself is Krishna. He explained in great detail, but still he could not understand. And for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained Vedanta Sutra to Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, those who are on the path of Brahman, they follow this process. But this the realization of Brahman is incomplete. As we see that when with the naked eyes, if we want to see the sun, we will not able to see the sun. We will only see the glare, the effulgence of the sun, because it is very difficult for our naked eyes to see. So similarly, Yad Brahma Upanishad Tadasyapi Tanubha. What the Upanishad, they describe the impersonal aspect of the Lord, are actually the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this, to realize this absolute truth is also, as Krishna said, Klesho Adhikatara Stisham. It is very, very difficult. Klishanti Keval Bodhalabhi. Because, why it is Klishanti? Because they do so much of hard work to study Vedanta and so much they do so much of study. Even if they go to the Brahman, but still, Ayu Rikshana Param Patantadho. So they have to again come back to this material world. So all their efforts are completely fruitful. It's like the example is given like the empty husk. If you beat the empty husk, nothing will come out of that because there is no rice within the husk. So it's only a shramaheva kevalam. So in this way, we say in Upanishads also, the devotee prays, Hiranmayana Patrena Sityasa Pihitam Mukham. So he says that, oh Lord, please remove this effulgence. Because of this effulgence, I am not able to see your beautiful face. So in this way, we can see that this realization of absolute truth is incomplete. So Prachetas, they were not actually meditating on Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we saw in the purport, Prabhupada mentions here. And also the Paramatma feature. Paramatma feature is also incomplete. To realize the Paramatma feature, one has to perform yogic, mystic yoga process. And also the Paramatma is actually the Amsha. It is Antaryami Purusha Iti So Amsha Sambhava. So, Paramatma is actually the Amsha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Krishna expands himself in the Purusha Avatara, first he, Ekam Tu Mahasrishir, he expands himself as Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu, there are unlimited universes, they are evolving from his pores of his body. And then, there are so many hundreds of millions of universes are created. And when he breathes in, all the universes are completely destroyed. And then, Dvitiyam to Anda Samsthitam. The second incarnation, Purusha Avatar, is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is expansion of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands himself in each of the universe, and he lies on the Garbhodak ocean, on the Anantashesh. And then from his lotus navel comes a lotus flower, and where the Brahma is born. And Brahma then creates, after realization, he creates the whole universe. And then the third Purusha incarnation is the Paramatma, that is Tritiyam to Sarva Bhutastham. So the third Purusha avatar is that the Paramatma, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, expands as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, he expands in everybody's heart. Like the sun, sun is one, but the rays are everywhere. So similarly, Paramatma is situated in each and everybody's heart. So this is what is the explanation given for the Paramatma in the scriptures. So this realization is also imperfect. But ultimately, the Bhagwan realization is ultimate. So that's why in Sanatana Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Krishnam evam ivetiham, ivehi tvam, atmanam akhilatmana. So he is the original soul of all souls. And for the benefit of the humanity, benefit of the conditioned souls, he comes to this material out of his causeless mercy. But he does not come, he is not subjugated under the three modes of material nature. He comes with his internal potency. He appears by his internal potency. And this form, the Bhagwan feature, can be only understood by devotional service. Bhaktamam abhijanati. Only by devotional service, one can understand the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachitananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karan. So as Brahma Samhita said that among all Ishwaras, there are many Ishwaras, but Ishwara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Ishwar. And Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And his form is made up of Satchit Ananda. Full of eternity, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And Anadir Adir Govinda. So he is the Anadi. Means there is no source from him. But everything comes from him. Sarva Karana Karana. And Krishna, the eternal abode is Goloka Vrindavan. And he eternally stays there with his personal friends, associates, his father, mother. And this Vrindavan is a storehouse of all the Krishna's mercy. And there is Goloka Vrindavan has a sweet opulence of conjugal love. That's why it becomes so very, very sweet, this Vrindavan. And in the original form, Krishna in his original form, he dressed himself like a cowherd boy. And he thinks himself one of them. He thinks that I am a cowherd boy. So Krishna is situated eternally in the spiritual potency. And that spiritual potency is called Sadaishwarya. So this Sadaishwarya, they are completely spiritual potency. As Parashara Muni states, what is this? Six opulences. Aishwarasya Samagrasya, Virasya Shishashriya, Jnana Vairagya, Shadanam Iti Bhagavana. So, Krishna has six opulence in full, in complete. The first is all wealth. He possesses all wealth. Aishwarasya Samagrasya, Virasya. He possesses all the strength of this world. Yashaha. He possesses all the fame. He is the most famous personality. Shri, and his most beautiful personality. Beautiful. And then Jnana. And he is possesses all knowledge, incomplete, and all renunciation. So these are the six opulences of Krishna, which is called internal spiritual potency, that is spiritual potency. But among all the opulences, his opulence of beauty is the most best. Because here, Krishna is not attracted to any of his opulences other than his beauty. He can trade all his wealth for an insignificant devotee. So he is not attached to his wealth. Nor he is attached to the fame that people will, does so many activities and does not consider that people will glorify me or criticize me. He is not worried about that. Like he performs Ras Leela, or he does so many activities, he breaks his own vow, so many things he does. So he is not worried about the fame also. And then he is not worried about knowledge, renunciation. But beauty, it attracts Krishna also. Because in Dwarka we see that when Krishna, he is in front of a mirror, then he himself, get attracted. He wants to taste the nectar of his own association, his own beauty he want to. So this beauty feature of Krishna is the topmost. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains Sanatana Goswami in great detail, the beauty of Krishna. So here he says that beauty, Krishna wants to taste his own beauty. That's why he appear as Lord Chaitanya. And the ornaments that caress his body, his body is so much transcendental that even that ornaments actually become beautiful. His body is so beautiful that the ornaments become beautiful because it is on his body. So that's why he is called as Bhushanara Bhushana Anga. Bhushanara Bhushana Anga means his ornament of the ornaments. So ornaments, generally here in this material world, we see that people wear ornaments to become beautiful. They apply so many makeup and they wear so many jewelries to make themselves beautiful. And if they put off all their makeup and their beauty, especially in the morning, there is no makeup, no jewelry, then you can see the real reality, completely ugly. But here, we see Krishna is called Bhushanara Bhushana Anga. So his body is so beautiful that the ornaments what he wears makes that ornaments become beautiful because of his wearing. So his, the Krishna's is so attractive that not only he is attractive to the demigods or the people in this world, but he is also attracted to his own expansion, Narayana. Narayana wanted to see, as we know that story, that one day a Brahmana, he comes to Dwarka and he says and start criticizing Ugrasen, that how is it that you are so impious king? My son is dying before me. So that means there is fault in you. So Arjuna was present there. So he becomes angry that how can he criticize like that? Because criticizing Ugrasen means criticizing Krishna. So he says that don't worry, next time I will protect your child. So in this way, every time Arjuna, he fails to protect the child of that Brahmana. So then Krishna, they both go all over the universe, all the three worlds, to search for that children of that Brahmanas. But they could not find them. Ultimately then Krishna and Arjuna, they go to Mahavishnu. Where Mahavishnu, there they find the Brahmana's children. So the Mahavishnu tells that actually I did this because I wanted to see I wanted to take your darshan, I wanted to see your beauty. So in this way we see that even Lord Narayana wants to relish the beauty of Krishna. And not only Narayana, even Lakshmi Devi, she also want to relish the beauty of Krishna. So that's why when she hears the flute of Krishna, she wants to go to Krishna and take part in the rasa dance. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in South India, he was joking with Venkat Bhatt. Venkat Bhatt was a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan. So, and also he was a little proud of being a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to, make him humble and also prove the point that Krishna is the source of all Narayanas. So, here he asks Venkat Bhatt that why is it that Lakshmi Devi, she is such a chaste wife of Lord Narayana and she wants to go to Krishna and enter the Ras Lila. So Venkat Bhatta says that there is no difference between Krishna and Narayana. So if Lakshmi wants to associate with Krishna, then what is the problem? There is nothing, no problem. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that first still she was not allowed. She was not allowed. So that's why she went to perform austerity. What is the reason for that? So Venkat Bhatta could not answer that. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that because Lakshmi Devi cannot give up her Aishwarya Bhav, so she cannot enter the Ras Lila, because in the Ras Lila only the servant of servant, the gopis, they considered themselves to be the maid servant. That's why they are very dear to Krishna. So the point here is that we see that Lakshmi Devi is also attracted to Krishna's beauty. So Krishna is so exalted that he is more attractive than anything else and more pleasing than anything else. And one becomes attracted to Krishna's beauty, no logic works. No logic works in which is revealed in the scriptures. So his main qualities are his opulences, then his sweetness and his mercy. They are all perfect and completely full. So that's why we say that the personal feature of Lord has always attracted the devotees. The four Kumaras, the Sanak Kumar, Sanatan, they were attracted by the aroma of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were actually Brahman realized. But still, they were on the Brahman platform, but when they smelled the aroma of the Tulsi leaf which is offered to Lotus Feet, Tasya Arvinda Nayanasya Pada Arvinda, Kinjal Kan Mishra Tulasi Makarandavai. So just by smelling the Tulsi leaf, they got attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he was attracted by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Because when Sukadeva Maharaj, when Sukadeva Goswami, he came out of the womb, he went straight away into the forest. So Vyasadeva had to arrange something to get him back. So he arranged his disciple, and he made them a woodcutter there. And these woodcutters, they were reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sukadeva Goswami, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately he said, from where did you get this Bhagavatam, these verses? He said, your father, he taught us. So he said, now you go back to your father and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Then by his Rupa Guna, just by hearing the qualities, the beauty, Rupa Guna, Rukmini Devi, she was attracted. When Narada Muni, he used to go in the palace and he used to narrate about Krishna. And just by hearing about that, Rukmini got attracted and immediately she sent the Brahmana with a letter that, please kidnap me and make me your wife. And then by his flute, he attracts so many people. Everybody, gopis, Lakshmis, everywhere his... So a few days back, Maharaj was explaining that how when Krishna plays flute, there is a nest form in the ears of the gopis, and they cannot hear anything else. And when the Gandharvas, they hear the flute, then they are completely surprised because they have never heard such music, because Gandharva is supposed to be very expert in music. But when they hear Krishna's flute, this is something else. What is playing? They don't know, and they are completely attracted to his flute. So ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he concludes that Shamam evam param rupam puri madhu puri vara vayah kaishoram dheyam ad eva parorasa. So the one has to meditate. The Sham Sundar form, where we see in the purport that prachitas, they were actually meditating on the Sham Sundar form of the Lord. So here in Padyavali it is given that the Sham Sundar form is the topmost and the Mathura is the supreme abode, and his Kaishor, his age of 16 is the topmost, and the conjugal love is the supreme mellow. So in this way one has to meditate on the Supreme Lord in the Sham Sundar form. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asking Ramanand Rai, what is the best thing, everything, you know, in the Shravan, what is best, who is the most famous devotee, famous personality. So in this way he was asking. So here he asks, Dheya Madhya Jivara Kartava Kyona Dhyana. Then Ramanand Rai, he answers, Radha Krishna Padambhuja Dhyana Pradhana. So to meditate on this lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, that is the ultimate goal. One has to always meditate on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That is ultimate. As Sunday Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning that some Brahma Samaj, they say that Nirankar Tumara Charan Dekhi. So first of all they are saying the impersonalism, and they are saying that Charan Dekhi, where is the feet if it is impersonal. But here clearly we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramanand Rai mentions that the supreme meditation is meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we see the deities, meditate upon them, it is completely a samadhi. Because, and we should not think that these deities are simply stone. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, our Krishna Raj Kaviraj Goswami, he wants that Shakshat Vrajendra Nandan ite nahi an, jiba agya kare pratima henake. That here Vrajendra Nandan, he is standing there. Nobody else is there, but the God himself, Krishna himself is standing there. And only a foolish person, he will think that it is a stone or just a pratima. So in this way, this is the first what explanation, that ultimate goal, what prachitas, they were meditating on the absolute truth. And then the second part here, he mentions about the glories of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, he is dear to both demigods and the demons because of his non-envious nature. Here we see in Srivas Acharya, he writes, Dhira Dhira Jana Kara Priya Karo. Why these six Goswamis, they were dear to everybody? because they were nirmatsaro, they were free from envy. That's why a pure devotee, when he comes, because of his non-envious nature, he can preach. Only a person who is non-envious can preach, because by this quality, he can attract the conditioned soul. And we see Sanatana Goswami, he was so dear when he was in Braja. Everybody used to love him. Those who were dacoits, they used to also love him. And those who are dhiras, they used to also love him. And Gaurang Prabhu that day mentioned about Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also very dear. The Britishers, they also wanted him to work for them. So in this way, because of non-envious nature, pure devotee is very, very dear to everybody, demigods as well as demons. So here we see that the pure devotee, he also wanders, because Narad Muni's first thing is that he wanders everywhere. All the doors are open to him. And here the living entity also wanders. But what is the difference? Here in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Vaishnava is independent and unbiased. He independently wanders. He has no. But a living entity, Krama Krodhir Dasahana Tara Lati Khai. So, the living entity, conditioned living entity, he is being kicked by the kama and krodh, like a football. Here we see, the ball is being kicked by everybody. So similarly, the kama and krodh, they are kicking us and we are roaming here and there. But when we are kicked and roaming here and there, and when the pure devotee is also roaming, and somehow or other by fortune, kono bhagyavan jiva, some fortunate soul, he comes in contact with the pure devotee. Tar upadeshe, Pishachi Palai, then that bhut will go away. And then Krishna Bhakti Pai, Tabe Krishna Nikate Jai. Then one will attain Krishna Bhakti and he will go near to Krishna. So that's one incident I remember, how this person who is haunted with ghost, how he behaves. There is a town called Gangapur. So there is a Datta temple So there are many people who are haunted by ghosts. They come there for treatment. So I used to go there because I was not haunted, but my relatives, means they were pujaris there. So we used to go to there. So there I used to see that in the evening at 6:30. To 7:30, there was some ritual, and the person, they used to beat the drums. And when they start beating the drums, then all those who were haunted by ghosts, they would just rise up, you know, and they would dance here and there and do all kinds. Today also, if you go, you will find many of them like that. So 60-year-old ladies, you know, they cannot walk properly. They climb 60 feet tall, these pillars, and you know, do so many kinds of activities. So one who is, you know, haunted by a ghost, you know, he does everything. And when that 7:30, the drums stops, and these people are 60 feet high up there, you know, then the temple authorities, they go and put the staircase and bring them down. Like that. So when one is haunted by a ghost, he thinks he does anything. So similarly, but when one associates with sadhu, then the devotion is there, like he says that Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hai Sadhu Sang, that the root of Krishna Bhakti in us is actually the Sadhu Sang, and Krishna Prema Janma Teho Puna Mukhyang, and to get Krishna Prema also, the Sadhu Sang is the most important thing. That's why like Bruham Murdang Puru, he was explaining in this yoga ladder, that Dhruva Maharaj, he was praying. He was seeing Lord in front of him, but still he was asking the association of devotees. So now we are unripe mangoes, so we will become ripe. The unripe mangoes, they are not so relishable, so in sadhana bhakti we find it difficult, but when ripe now, it is relishable. So the water is the holy name, and the sunlight is the association of devotees. So yesterday our uncle, Devamrut Prabhu's uncle, he showed me one phrase, that one poet, you know, he says that when a tree grows, it grows in such a way that every leaf receives the sunlight. Whatever amount of sunlight it wants, that it receives. So similarly, everybody has the opportunity to associate with devotees, and one should take association of devotees. So Narottam Das Thakur, he always prays, Tadera Saran Charan Sevi Bhakta Sanevas, Janame Janame Hoi He Abhilas. So we have to develop trust in devotees. Devotees of course love you, as Govind Prabhu mentions. I like this phrase, his phrase very much, that a pure devotee may say, I love you, or he may say, because of his compassion. But one, if pure devotee says, I trust you, that is the perfection of life. Because by associating with devotees, by gain their trust, and when we gain their trust, because in trust, love is also included. So by their mercy, we can attain the supreme destination, that is Krishna Prem. Hare Krishna. So anybody has any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Ki Jai.